Are you ready for the future of the West? Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, a man in Australia by the name of Adam Britton, who is British, who has worked for the BBC and worked with David Attenborough, has just been found guilty of having had sex, violent sex, with 42 dogs between the period of 2014 and 2022. Why on earth, from a psychological perspective, would you want to have sex with 42 dogs? That's the question I'd like to answer in this quick pint. But before I do so, let's have a look at exactly what we know about this guy. He's a married British citizen, a zoologist who has worked for the BBC alongside his wife, who has also done so. He's worked with David Attenborough, and he has admitted to raping and torturing dogs at his animal shelter, as I say, 42 dogs over the period of 2014 to 2022. He's originally from West Yorkshire, and he's 51 years old, is Mr. Britton. He's also had sex with his own two dogs, Ursa and Bolt, and he's posted videos of him having sex with them on Telegram under the name Cerberus. Cerberus was, of course, the three-headed dog who guarded the gates of hell in Dante's Inferno. He is an academic. This is an academic zoologist, as well as running a home for dogs. And he works at Charles Darwin University in Australia. And he has this dog home, basically, in Australia's Northern Territory. And he's worked, as I say, for the BBC and for National Geographic. And via his work, his wife has even met Prince Harry. The judge sent the jury and the security staff out when the prosecution read the details of what he had done, saying that it was so grotesque that it would cause nervous shock to members of the public if they were to hear the details of what he had done. And it was decided that the details of what he had done were too gruesome to be published. He would charm the owners of dogs to sell their dogs to him so that he could abuse their dogs. As I say, he would share videos of him doing these appalling things to dogs on Telegram and such like places. And even had his own Instagram channel about his two dogs, Ursa and Bolt, with whom he was having sex. The sort of Russell Brand of the dog world. What on earth is behind such things? Well, I've looked into the article, the research, and there's quite a bit of research on this about zoophilia. That is that you have sex with animals. And what are the correlates of zoophilia? Well, they're quite predictable, really. The first is basically that you have very high sex drive, you have very low impulse control, and you have psychopathic traits. This means that you have such a strong desire for sex that you will have sex with anything, and this includes dogs. Dogs and horses, by the way, are for preference. Some other research indicates dogs and horses are the two animals that those that have sex with animals tend to particularly want to have sex with, not sheep. And this may be because dogs and horses are, to the most extreme degree, our evolutionary partners. Perhaps there is something adaptive about really liking dogs and horses, and this is somehow taken too far. Who knows? But it's people that have a very high sex drive and are high in psychopathic traits. And the psychopathic traits element would fit with this, because apparently the kind of sexual intercourse he was engaging in with these dogs was utterly sadistic and horrible. I mean, he was torturing them as well as having sex with them. So high sex drive plus psychopathic traits, overwhelming desire for sex, would predict behaving in that way. The second would be that we're dealing with a sexual fetish, that the person is sexually aroused by dogs, or he is a furry, or sexual. And now, how does that develop? Well, two key things here. Those that have this fetish tend to have been sexually abused when they are children. And some kind of massive trauma when you are a child seems to throw you off the normal process of sexual canalization. So there's a process of canalization that you develop along, and if you develop normally, then your sexuality will be normal. If something throws you off it, an event, a trauma, something like that, something horrible that happens to you, it can throw you off it, and you can go through perhaps a brief phase of your sexuality developing abnormally. But normal people that are genetically healthy or mentally healthy, whatever, will eventually go back onto it, and they will develop sexually normally. Those that are not healthy in that way will stay off it. And it's often, research on paedophiles has found this, research on many people has found this, that often it's some kind of trauma, let's say a parent dying at the age of 12, and they therefore are sexually aroused by 12-year-olds for the rest of their lives, or being sexually abused at the age of 12, and that this throws you off and keeps you off the process of canalization. Now, this then crosses over with autism. Autism is basically that you are low in empathy and very high in systematizing, but also an element of autism is that you feel feelings strongly. You are hypersensitive, and this includes hyperarousal. You feel your own feelings very strongly, and this means that you can make sexual associations very easily, and this will militate in favour, particularly if there is some kind of trauma, of you perhaps making a sexual association with an animal that a normal person would not do, because you feel feelings so strongly, so intensely, and this includes sexual feelings and hyperarousal, that this then takes something which may have sexual elements to it, possibly, and turns it into a sexual fetish. The third element which crosses over with all of this is simply sadism. He was obviously aroused by torturing these dogs. How does sadism work? Well, an element of sex can be regarded to be about power. The man has power over the woman. The man is, in a sense, can be seen to be dominating in the dominant position over the woman. There's research that indicates that men are more sexually aroused by sadistic pornography than they are by normal pornography, and they produce more semen when they masturbate to sadistic pornography. And so this, of course, it is an element of this is power. Those men that were more turned on by power would be more desirous to have sex and would be more able to have sex and obtain sex more through, you know, the means are obvious, and therefore pass on more of their genes, and therefore playotypically sex in the male mind has become associated with power, and so therefore power in a sexual context becomes sexually arousing for men. The two things have become fused together, and from this is why, where with females the opposite, it's submission that has become fused with sex with a lot of women, which is why when you have sadomasochism, the man will often be the sadist, and the woman will often be the masochist in that role. The element of sex is power, so it follows that it will be adaptive to be sexually aroused by power, because this dynamics will help you to get more sex. This follows. So this could then be an element of it as well, and he has the power over the dogs, and this again would be associated with autism, because the autistics tend to be turned on by, you know, they like things that are scripted, they like things that are predictable, and there perhaps something predictable about certain power dynamics and interplay. So it may be that he's simply a sadist. And being a sadist as well, of course, it correlates with the psychopathic personality, because people that are psychopaths, you know, that lack empathy. So the research indicates that is what is behind zoophilia. In particular, sexual impulsivity, early onset of the sexual association, and sexual abuse as a child seem to be the key things, though, with zoophilia, beyond the other traits mentioned. Remember to go over to jollyheretic.com, where you can find our uncensored videos that our YouTube mutant overlords won't let you watch. And I will see you all soon, and goodbye!